Well, a very good morning to you again, and again, a welcome if you're just here as a visitor for Maya's dedication service. And we're going to be looking at those verses from Luke chapter 2 that Paul read for us just a few minutes ago. I guess when it comes to a baby being born and sort of growing up, there are always this kind of key moments that you want to kind of maybe capture in a picture, maybe capture on a videotape. I say videotape, who does videotape these days? Show how old I am, isn't it? But you want to capture those really key moments. You want to capture the first time the child maybe starts to crawl or takes the first steps. And the first time the child begins to just mouth those first words. If it's a boy, it may be car. If it's a girl, it could be shopping or things like that. But whatever the first word may be, if you can capture that on film, that would be fantastic. And those key moments as they go through life, that first time they go off to school, the first time they get detention. No, you don't want to capture that, do you? But all those big things, those big moments in the life of a child. And I guess those of you who are parents here this morning, you may well have sort of tons of photographs documenting from baby growing up, just to see those beautiful, wonderful moments. When we come to the Bible and we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very interesting that what we actually see is we don't get to look at a lot of those key moments in the life of Jesus. We have no idea what the first words of Jesus were. Nobody knows. We don't know exactly how old he was when he first took those first stumbling steps. We have his birth written down for us. We know what happened there. And most of us, I think, are probably familiar with the Christmas account of what happened with the shepherds there and the angels, the wise men. And we have that aspect of Jesus as a baby. As Paul mentioned, we have him being dedicated in the temple, 8 days old. We hear about that. And now we have here in Luke chapter 2, Jesus at the age of 12. But then after that, that's it, until Jesus is a fully grown adult. And we may kind of think, well, that's a little bit odd, that's a little bit weird. We want to know more. We want to know more about what Jesus was like as a child, as a teenager. What was the teenage Jesus really like? Why is it that this is the only passage that we have of Jesus after he's grown up into a child of 12 years old? Why do we hear nothing else? Why do the writers of the Gospels only give us this? Because on the surface, it might seem like a bit of a kind of a strange story from the life of Jesus to choose. So you may remember, and do if you've got a Bible open, do turn back briefly to there. So the parents of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, they've been to Jerusalem. They're now heading back to their hometown of Nazareth. And they discover that Jesus is not with them. And if you're a parent here, you may have had that experience where you think you're walking along and you think that your child is right next to you and you turn around and they're gone. Well, where are they? And it's that sort of heart in the mouth moment. Well, they've been traveling for quite a while by the point they realize that Jesus isn't with them. They've been traveling on for a day. Yeah, he's around somewhere. He's fine. And they return to Jerusalem, searching for him there. It takes them 3 days. That's a long time of worry, isn't it? 3 days to locate him in the temple. And we may look at that and think, well, that doesn't necessarily paint Jesus in the best light. He's gone away from his parents. He's gone to the temple. And they must have been, they were sick with worry, weren't they? As any parent would have been. But actually, I believe that this particular passage has been chosen for us to show some really two very important things, really, about the person of Jesus. One is that he is totally unique. There is no one like Jesus, and we see that in this passage. But at the same time, Jesus also is a great example. And so when we kind of think about what we'd like to be praying for Maya as she grows up, we can see things in this passage that would be great for us to pray for, and I'm sure that Chris and Rachel have their hopes and desires for Maya in her life that we see in Jesus from this passage. So those are the two things we're going to think about briefly this morning. So the first thing is, well, how does this passage show us that Jesus is unique? Well, it tells us that he is the Son of God. Now, that's already been revealed to us in Luke, and in Luke chapter 1. And if you've, so you've got a Bible open, you just want to turn back one page. And so we have that that scene where the angel appears to Mary and foretells the fact that she's going to have a child. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, the angel says to Mary, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And all the miraculous events that surround the birth of Jesus, the angels appearing in the skies, these wise men bringing these gifts who followed this star, are all because Jesus is no ordinary baby. He is unique, he is set apart, he is totally different from everyone else. It was revealed to Mary, he will be called the Son of God. Now, I haven't checked this with Chris and Rachel, but I don't know, were there angels at that point? No angels. Wise men, Chris, Tim and Cliff. Yeah, well, Tim supports QPR, he doesn't count. We don't see that, do we? Because there is this uniqueness in the birth of Jesus. And we see it here as he's 12 years old, as they search for Jesus. Where is he? He's in the temple, which he describes as my father's house. And you know, no one else could talk about the temple in that way apart from Jesus. So in verse 43, we're told, his parents were returning home. Mary and Joseph were going to, in a sense, you know, their home, where they were from. But as they are doing so, Jesus is in the temple, in his father's house. The Bible clearly, again and again, tells us that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't know what opinion of Jesus you came in with this morning, whether you even believe that he exists or not, or whether you just think he's some great sort of guru or teacher, or someone who, yes, sort of lived a pretty moral life. And maybe that's kind of why we sort of heard of him today. But apart from that, nothing special, nothing unique. Perhaps you believe that Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. Well, even at the age of 12, he's in the temple and he recognizes it as his father's house. And even as he grows up into adulthood, and as we see, most of the Gospels focusing on the last 3 years of his life, and a lot of it put across actually to the last week of his life. As we see that aspect of the life of Jesus again and again, he reaffirms the fact that he is the Son of God. I want you to know that this morning. That's really, really important, as we're going to see a little bit later on. So Jesus is unique. He is set apart. There is no one like him. There is no one who will be able to go into the temple to, in a sense, leave his parents there on the road to go to the temple, his father's house, and for it not to be a disobedient, terrible thing to do. It was the right thing for Jesus to do. And actually, Mary and Joseph should have known that he was going to be there because they had been told, this child is the Son of God. So Jesus is set apart. He's distinct. He's unique. But also, he's a great example. And look at verse 52, just at the end. There we go, it's working, fantastic. And we're going to have this verse up on the screen, so you don't necessarily need to keep on referring back to it. But Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man, God and people. That's how Jesus grew up. And as I said, I guess our prayer and our hope for Maya really will be that she will grow in those ways as well. And we'll just go through these quickly, one by one. What does it mean to grow in wisdom? Now, I guess every parent wants their child to kind of grow up, and I suppose really everyone kind of thinks, doesn't it, that their child is smarter or more intelligent than anyone else. And when you talk about first words, what was your child's first word? Oh, it was duck. Well, that's a nice first word. What was your child's first word? Well, their first word was quantum, and their second word was physics. It was amazing. It was fantastic. Doesn't often happen, I don't think, but everyone wants to think that their child's going to grow up and be an absolute genius. But that's not what wisdom is. That's not what wisdom is about. It's not about someone just being really smart and knowing lots of things or being really intelligent. Wisdom is about, amongst other things, being able to make the right choices. About being able to know the right thing to say in the right situation, the right thing to do in the right situation. And if you're a parent here this morning, who doesn't want their child to grow up to learn that really important lesson, to know what to say, when to say it, what to do, when to do it, and to avoid things that shouldn't be said and shouldn't be done? We all want that, really. And I guess as grown-ups, we have to kind of admit as well that we're still on that learning curve. If only we always knew the right thing to say and not only knowing it, but also doing it as well. It's amazing, isn't it? I'm speaking to the men here, that you know, no matter how many times the wife will come down, maybe with a new hairstyle or a new dress, and say, "How do I look?" We still don't always know exactly the right thing to say in that situation. And you know, it happens again and again. You'd think we'd be experts, wouldn't you? But no, still learning on that one, aren't we? But it's great, isn't it, to be able to know the right thing to say and the right thing to do. And Jesus was the perfect example of someone who always knew what to say, when to say it, what to do, when to do it. But not only knowing it, but he lived it out in his life as well. He is the ultimate example of what it is to be wise. And our prayer for Maya is that as she grows up, she will grow in wisdom. She will grow in that ability to distinguish right from wrong, good choices, good decisions from bad choices and bad decisions. Yeah, we all want that for our children, I hope. So wisdom. Secondly, though, stature. I'm not going to say too much on stature because it's kind of really obvious, isn't it? Growing up physically, okay? So Maya, as she gets older, she will grow taller and taller, hopefully not as tall as Chris. That'll be intimidating. But we wanted to grow up in stature, don't we? And that's exactly what Jesus did. And so I don't really want to kind of labour this point, because it's one which is kind of like so obvious and clear to us. But it is important to kind of say that Christianity is not just about what happens after this life, that our physical bodies and the physical world around us isn't important and doesn't really matter. Because it does matter. It matters a huge amount. That's why we're told here that, you know, Jesus, as he grew, yes, he grew in his mind and his wisdom, but he grew in his body as well, in his physicality. And Christians are very much concerned with life down here. When Jesus grows up, he says, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Jesus was concerned that his followers would know real life and enjoy life down here. And so, of course, our desire for any child is that they will grow up physically in their stature as well. But then these last two, and we're going to do them in reverse order, because I want to just think of a little bit for a moment. What does it mean to be in favour with man or men or people, as appropriate? But generally, you know, people looking favourably upon someone else. And again, of course, we want, don't we, Maya to be someone that people look at and look at her favourably. It's not quite the same thing as popularity, because actually we know, don't we, that sometimes you can have some pretty mean, horrible people, but also who are very popular. They're very strong characters, and they can often be a ringleader of various groups and things, and they're not particularly a pleasant person, but they can be, at the same time, quite oddly, very, very popular, or certainly appear to be very, very popular. It's not about popularity, but it's about having that character, that characteristic, in a sense, that actually attracts other people to you. And that's really, really important. We see it in the life of Jesus. When Jesus grows into a man, and actually Paul's mentioning our evening series on the book of Isaiah, there's a prophecy in Isaiah which says that for Jesus, there's nothing of his physical appearance that would attract people to him. Okay, people didn't follow Jesus because he looked amazing. It wasn't anything to do with that, but it was about who he was. And that's what we want for Maya as well. I'm sure she'll grow up to be a beautiful young lady. But we also want her to be beautiful in a sense, being really mushy and unmanlike. Beautiful on the inside. Okay, but that's the way, what is it? Something in her character to people to say, you know, Maya, she is a wonderful, wonderful person, to grow in favour with other people. And that's what Jesus was like. People followed him. So nothing in his outward physical appearance or in his sort of charisma to do that, but people followed him because of his character, because of who he was. And then the final one, in favour with God. Now, some of you here this morning, you may have been kind of nodding in agreement with growing in wisdom, you know, in your, sort of your mind, growing in stature sort of physically, growing sort of socially, okay, in favour with other people. And yes, that's what we all want for our kids. That's what we all want for our kids. Oh, but hold on a second. In favour with God. Does that really matter? Maybe some of you here this morning, as a visitor maybe, aren't even sure whether God is real. Does it really matter if Maya grows in favour with God? What does it even mean? How do you actually achieve favour with God? How can you do it? For a lot of people, they think it's something a little bit like this. Now, how working has come out pretty well. Okay, so what we have here is we have what I like to call the favour with Godometer. Okay, it's a bit of a mouthful, copyrighted. So this is favour with Godometer, and you've got Myers' name down the bottom there, and it's about halfway. So the bombshell for Chris and Rachel this morning, and it pains me to have to say this, is that Myers is not perfect. I know. Rachel, she's going to throw something at me, I tell you. She's reaching in her handbag for sharp objects. Phone. Phone will do. That's great. Myra's not perfect. Our kids are wonderful. I've got three now. I had to think about that for a minute. It's a relatively new state of affairs. So three kids, and they're lovely, and they are wonderful. But they are not perfect. Okay? Now, Grace is very, very sweet, but when she headbutts you, you know about it. Okay? I have to get her out of that habit. But they're not perfect. Kids, as wonderful and lovely as they are, and as devoted to you as they are when they're very, very young, they are not perfect. So what does it mean then to get favour with God? What does Maya have to do through her life to get favour with God? And a lot of people think, well, it's really about the things that you do. So if we have these sort of, there's the meter there, and we're aiming to get to the top, okay, to gain favour with God, we need to get to the top. And Maya's about halfway there at the moment, so... say she grows up a little bit and she helps an old lady cross the road. That's always a good thing to do, isn't it? I understand. And it goes up a little bit. Okay, so well done, Ma. You're on your way. But the next day, some biscuits go missing from the biscuit jar. And Ma's there saying, it was not me, but the chocolate is smeared around the mouth. You've all been there, isn't it? I'm pointing at the screen, that's why, isn't it? There we go. There we go, that's better. And it's right back down again. Okay, biscuit thief and liar. Okay, so it goes down. But the next day, she's very, very helpful in doing the dishes. And so it goes up again. And that's how it goes for the rest of Maya's life. Now, if that is what it's really all about, I don't know about you. I said, three children, I wouldn't want that for any of my kids. For them to go through life trying to do things that are good, then getting really depressed when they do things which are bad, trying to attain something which actually is unattainable in our own strength. Okay, because Maya can never actually fill up the meter by herself. Because as we say, she's not perfect. None of us are. We all get things wrong. There's not a single perfect person in this room here this morning, or in fact, in the entire world. And we do things which are good sometimes, we are wise sometimes, we make right decisions, but sometimes we make really bad decisions. And we do things that we shouldn't do, and we say things that we shouldn't say. And so that is our experience. And then we have to say, well, how then do we achieve favour with God? Well, the answer is this. And this is the good news that we're here to celebrate this morning, and that Chris and Rachel are here to celebrate this morning, because here is the favour with Godometer of Jesus. And as you can see, it is topped right up to the maximum level. Why? Because he's the Son of God. And as we flick through the pages of the Bible, and we can take a magnifying glass of the Bible and search out those times when Jesus does not say the right thing or doesn't do the right thing, and we cannot find it. The favour of Godometer is right there. It's at the maximum level. It cannot go any higher. When Jesus as an adult was baptised, a voice came from heaven and God said, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. That's what God said about Jesus. Jesus had total favour with God, never made a mistake, never got anything wrong. But at the moment, that doesn't really kind of sort out Maya, because her graph is still there. Getting there, because obviously she's a good girl, but not there yet. Well, the Bible says the only way we can achieve favour with God is not to do with anything that we do, but it is all about what Jesus has done for us. The Greek word for favour in Luke chapter 2 is basically the word grace. It's something that we don't deserve. It's a gift for us. And the reason why this morning we were not baptising Maya is that she needs to grow up of an age where she understands that Jesus lived the perfect life for her and he died the perfect death for her that she may achieve favour with God. We've just had Easter, and that's what Easter is really all about. That Jesus on the cross, he dies He takes all the wrong things and the bad stuff that we do, and then he gives to us his perfect obedience. And if we just flick them around there, that's what happens. It's not that we never do anything wrong ever, ever again, but when God looks at us, he sees the perfect work of Jesus. And all the failure that we do on the cross was placed on Jesus. And that is the prayer that we have ultimately. I know that Chris and Rachel have for Maya, that as she grows, when she grows up, she's not there yet, but when she grows up and she's old enough to understand what Jesus has done for her, that she will believe and trust in him. She'll put her faith in him to forgive her of her sin. And then as a grown-up or as a young person, then she will be baptized and declare herself to be a Christian. It cannot be declared for her by anyone else. She has to come and know Jesus for herself. And that is good news. That's what I want for my kids. Not for them to go through life constantly striving, working, 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 never to achieve what it is they're going for, but for them to grow up and to know that Jesus has done it all for them. He died for them. And because of that, they can then have favour with God. They can know God. They can experience all the goodness and blessings of God that he has for them. So what about you this morning? Was that a shock to you? Was that something you weren't expecting, maybe, about the Christian message? Were you expecting religion and trying to work your way up to God? I don't know. But this is the reality that the Bible teaches for us. The reality of what Jesus has done for us. And I said, not just for Maya and not just for families of Christians who are here, but Jesus came for people who were far off, people who were far away, people who said no to God and who had rejected him. Jesus is for everybody. And he died on the cross so that anyone from any background, from any belief system, from any culture, whoever they may be, he died so that you could come to know God. Do you want favour with God? It's the most important thing you can have. We spoke about those key moments in someone's life earlier on. First word, first steps. Yeah, they're great, aren't they? They're exciting times. The real key moment for Maya is when she comes to know Jesus. And the really key moment for everybody, for anybody, is when they come to know Jesus for themselves. It is the most important thing you can ever do in your entire life. Because it gives you life to the full down here and eternal life after death. And there is nothing greater than that. That's our prayer for Maya, but it's our prayer for you this morning as well, that you too will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave a great gift that we do not deserve, the gift of your one and only Son. Father, you loved him, you still love him, and yet you gave him up for us because you love us. And we thank you for that amazing sacrifice on the cross. That there all my sin, all my shame, all my failure was laid upon him. And put to my account was all his goodness, all his obedience, all his faithfulness. And Father, I just want to thank and praise you. This is a free gift that cannot be earned. But we just have to come in humble faith to you. Father, I pray for each person here this morning. Well, this is great news. This is amazing news. There is no news better. And Father, I just want to pray that it will be accepted as such by those who need to hear it. Father, I pray for Maya as she grows up, that she will grow in wisdom, she'll grow in stature, she'll grow in favor with other people. But most importantly of all, that as she grows up, she will see the importance of being right with you, and she will come to Christ. If we pray it in his name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stand and sing our final song.